But let's get serious this morning and let's just talk about what God has laid on my heart this morning. I've been preaching on marriage, so I want you to take your Bible, turn to Genesis chapter 2, and I'm going to move around in the scriptures this morning. Genesis 2 and then Revelation 19. And let's just focus on the Word of God this morning. I'll be preaching out of the King James Version this morning. Amen. Amen. And it's the Word of God, and I believe in it, and I love it. This Bible that I preach out of saved my life. It saved my soul, and it saved my life. It saved my marriage. It saved my children. And I'm not going to back down from it. I'm not going to back down from it. This is my best friend in the whole world right here. And they accused me of Bible worship. Some people don't like that. But when the Bible itself says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, I just have to believe what it says. And God is my faithful companion throughout my life when I have His Word with me. And there's a lot of things going on in the world, and you guys know my heart and sort of why I started preaching on this, because the Supreme Court struck down the Defense of Marriage Act. It was Congress's effort to try to stabilize a very, very immoral and shaky country by at least trying to establish a principle that marriage, the definition of a marriage, is between a man and a woman, a genetic man and a genetic woman. And so the Sodomites have been working together. They're very, very well funded, very well organized. And they pushed and they sued on this thing, and they got their way. And all that's done is open the door now so that the pedophiles and every other kind of ilk in this country says, we want marriage defined our way now. We want it defined how we want it. That's what that's done. And you've heard me say this many times. The problem is not in who's sitting in the White House. The problem that has crept into this country is who's been standing behind the pulpits of this country. We've got men and women who don't belong behind a pulpit. We've got men and women who are screaming out a liberal message that is anti-God, anti-Bible, it's anti-marriage, and this church and God's people need to defend how God arranged things. So I've been preaching on that, I've been teaching on that, and been talking about a lot of things and about biblical roles of marriage, but here we're going to get into some of the hard stuff, some of the hard lessons now, and I'm going to deal with you men and you young boys. I'm going to deal with you today, so you pray for me, and let's go to the Word of God. Genesis chapter 2. The Bible says in verse 21, the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. Now men, please pay attention to the Word of God. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She should be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Now I want you to turn your Bible over to Revelation chapter 19. We see the fruition of this. We see exactly what is going on and the fulfillment of this role and this type that you have in the Bible. And so in Revelation chapter 19, we see in verse 6, and I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thunderings, saying, Alleluia. For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. And I want you to think about that in relation to that, because I'm going to show you what that means in a minute. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And then I want you to look in verse 9. And he saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. If you agree with the word of God this morning, can I hear you say amen? Amen. Let's bow our heads and our hearts this morning and ask God for his grace. I want men everywhere, and you boys, you teenage boys, whatever, and I want you to listen to the word of God, and I want you to ask God for his grace and his help. Because I'm going to preach some kind of hard things this morning, and I'm not trying to be mean. I'm not trying to make you think I'm better than everybody, but we need help. We need help to fulfill our godly roles as husbands and as men in this world today. Heavenly Father, Lord, I'm asking for your help to preach. I'm asking, dear God, for your help and your grace, dear God, to stand in front of these men. Lord, these are my friends. These are my brethren. Lord, these are my countrymen. Lord, I love them dearly. But Lord, you've called me to say things that need to be said. And Lord, I just pray, dear God, for grace on this message. I pray, dear God, for grace. Lord, not only as I preach it, but Lord, as I listen to it. Because God, I'm hoping, Father, that the Holy Ghost will preach today. And Lord, I want to hear what God has to say today. I need it, Lord, for my wife and for my children and my grandchildren. I need it, dear God, to fulfill my role and what I'm supposed to be. And Lord, I'm probably like most other men in this place. Lord, when I measure myself against you, I'm fallen far, far short. So Lord, I cannot brag, I cannot boast, I cannot be full of pride over what I've done and what I've accomplished, because God, I lack in so many areas. But Lord, you've taken me, Lord, and you've put me on a journey, Lord, of wanting to have your ways in my life. And Lord, I still want that, and I'm asking, dear God, for your help. I'm asking, dear God, Lord, that you would bless this church by giving us strong, godly men who will honor you and your righteousness and your kingdom by seeking you out to fulfill the role that God has established for them. Lord, that our boys and our young men, Lord, who are listening to this morning, would listen attentively. Lord, would mark in their minds and in their hearts, Lord, what they need to attain to. Lord, I just pray, dear God, that you would give them all grace. Give my sons grace. Give my sons-in-law grace, God. Give our people, Lord, and those that are watching and listening, Lord, give us all grace today, Lord, and help us, dear God, to set a high standard in this country for what you have called us to be. Lord, you've called us to be like you. Thank you, Jesus, for being a good husband to your bride. Lord, bless us as we preach, dear God. Bless and honor your word. We pray in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. Now, I mentioned this yesterday, and I'm just going to kind of roll through some scriptures. If you want to try to keep up with me, that's fine. But I'm just going to kind of roll through some scriptures this morning, and I know it's kind of getting late. But if you're worried about, getting last in line at the restaurant, don't worry about it. We got plenty of food downstairs, and we'll feed everybody. And if the Lord calls me, and I just keep on preaching and preaching and preaching, then I'll have the ladies come up and bring up something for us every now and then. So that way we don't faint not. Amen. And after all, Jesus fed the 5,000, and I'm sure we got plenty for everybody down there. But I just want you to pray for me while I preach, because this whole deal of marriage is under attack in this day, and I want you to understand why it is under attack. They are attacking the very foundation of what God established in the Garden of Eden as the foundation for civility, the foundation for morality, the foundation for a culture and how people are going to thrive. He is attacking the very foundation. And I asked yesterday, do you believe in conspiracy theories? And you should, because there is a very hellish, devilish conspiracy to destroy God's roles in a family today. Can I hear you say amen? Psalm chapter 2, verse 2, the Bible says, the kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together. Did you know that it was the Supreme Court, the rulers of this nation, that struck that nonsense down? Struck that thing down. That the rulers are taking counsel against the Lord. That means they're going against the things that God has established to be right in this nation. And marriage is the first thing that God established to be right in this nation. In this earth, the first thing that God established was marriage. The husband and the wife, the male and the female, being joined together in a bond, not a bondage, a bond a boundary, a band. I wear on my finger a band. It is a marital band. It was given to me by my wife in acceptance of a promise that I made to her. I gave her one as well in acceptance of a promise that she made to her husband. We've married 26 years, and probably over those 26 years have struggled with every one of those promises that we made to one another. You know why? Because there are spirits that are working against this band, trying to destroy it, trying to tear it up, trying to ruin what's going on between me and my wife, and how that affects our children and our children's children and their husbands and their wives. So that rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder. It's exactly, God got it right, didn't He? Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. So now we live in a society, in a world, where there is what I call the adulteration of marriage. The word to adulterate, or as they say, commit adultery, means to corrupt or to blemish or to ruin in somehow, some way, what marriage represents. It is established by God. It is even established in the nature of a mankind. See, the Bible says it's against nature for a woman to be with another woman. It's against nature for a man to be with another man. It doesn't work in plumbing. It doesn't work in electricity. It doesn't work in computers. And it doesn't work in marriage. It ain't right. God established it as a boundary, as a guideline, as the stability of our culture. The stability of our church is hinged upon what's going on in our marriages. We cannot expect God to bless our church if we are not having Him bless our marriages. So number one, the adulteration of marriage, the attack of marriage. Number one, the reversal or abdication of marital roles. The man is to be the husband and the woman is to be the wife. And it's not to be the other way around. Crickets. I hear crickets chirping. The man is to be the husband. And the woman is to be the wife. So he's attacking and adulterating marriage by the reversal or abdication of marital roles. Number two, the defilement of the marital relationship. Number three, the ignoring of marital bonds. And then what it leads to, you see, when the husband and wife start role reversing and not fulfilling their godly roles, it's like a domino effect. Then you have the defilement of marriage. Then you have the ignoring of marital bonds. You see, you go back in this nation's history about 50 years ago when Hugh Hefner came out with Playboy magazine, that was the defilement of the marital relationship. Now there's guys running around looking for other women on their wives because they're seeing magazines and stuff like that. So you know what that's bred in this country? And ignoring of marital bonds. Now young people are growing up and they're saying, why marry? Why should we get married? My mom had several men. My dad had several women. They had to marry all of them. Why are we doing this? Why don't we just live together for a while and then go find somebody else, live with them for a while? By the way, let's bring in about 4 or 5 kids into this mess and let's ruin their lives. The ignoring of marital bonds. And so then these kids that are growing up, now they're going to take a step worse. These are the ones who are turning sodomite. One after another. One leads to the other. So I'm going to deal with just you men today. And you women, just kind of sit and listen quietly. Do some knitting or whatever. Because I'll deal with you later. Okay? But I know how to preach to men. I know that when I preach to women, I'm going to be nice and sweet and cream and sugar. And I preach to you men, it's going to get rough. It's going to be hard. And if you get mad at me, head to the parking lot and get in and drive after me, because I'll be about 3 miles ahead of you. Okay? I'm not a fighter. God did not. My mom will tell you. My sister will tell you. I'm not a fighter. Okay? I just say tell them now. Okay? What is the role of a husband? Well, number one, men, you realize that woman you have, you're stuck with. This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. If you've got her, you take care of her. You've got her, you're stuck with her. You might as well make the best out of it that you can. And if you can't do that, ask God for help and he'll help you. God is a help. He's a very present help in time of trouble. Somebody say amen. And you men know about being in trouble. Okay, so number one, you're stuck with her. Number two, now you listen to this. I'm going to try to preach this fast, but you listen to the Word of God. The reason why I brought in Revelation 19 over there is that it's about the marriage of the Lamb to His bride, to His wife. And the bride, blessed are they that get to go to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Do you know who provided that supper? It was the Lamb, not the bride. Men, boys, you listen to me. It is your job to be the provider for your family. It is not your wife's job to provide for your family. That is an ungodly role. It's unbiblical. Now, I know that the world is hard today. It's hard to get by today. It's hard to pay bills. I know it's hard, and I know that, well, you know, my wife works. You got to work. You know, we need insurance, this, that, and the other. But I want you to begin to pray, God, show me my role in my family so that I can do what I'm supposed to be doing, like Jesus does for the church. The church does not provide for Christ. Christ provides for the church. Say amen. It's your job to go out. In fact, let's go back to Genesis. You see what God did in those roles there after they sinned in the Garden of Eden. God put it in the heart of a woman. He told her, he said, in sorrow, you're going to give birth and you're going to have sorrow and conception. And he said, your desire shall be to your husband and he shall rule over you. And you men are going, that's right. I'm ruling over you. You know what your job is? Go sweat. Get up off the couch, you lazy bum, and go get you a job working and sweating and earning money for your family. That's your job, man. Told you guys, it's going to be rough. It's not your wife's job to bear the responsibility of bringing home the bacon. That's not her role. That's yours. And if it takes God's help, then bless God, get him involved in it. Ask God to help you pay your bills. Ask God to help you put food on your table. Ask God to fix it to where your wife don't have to go out and work anymore. Because I'm going to tell you that when I get into the dealing with the women, you know what one of the roles the Bible says for that woman is? And if all you feminists, just go do something else for a while instead of you sitting being mad at me. Because the Bible says she's to be a keeper at home. That's good preaching. Ephesians chapter 5, turn there. Hurry up so I can preach fast, all right? Ephesians 5, 23. There's all kinds of things, men, that God has called us to be. And again, I'm not preaching as a superior over you. I'm not. I'm an equal to you in some places. In some cases, I'm worse than you. God has had to deal with me. My whole ambition, my whole life was I wanted to preach and pastor a church. And I had that ahead of anything in the world. When God gave me a wife and began to give me children, I thought, well, I need to go preach somewhere. And God would not let me do it. He said, Mike, you're too lazy. You're too young. You're too immature. You're too boyish. You can't handle any responsibility because you've never had it. And so you need to learn. And God trained me to be a pastor in my house. That's how God did it. I still have a lot to attain to. I have a lot of things that I want God to help me with and help me take care of. But I've decided that for me and for my wife, there's nothing more important than what it is than our relationship together. I cannot put, that's why I have Sweetie Pie Day. On Friday, I'm out of here. I've worked from Sunday to Thursday. And Friday is her day. And we go wherever she wants to go. And you ought to see me standing there leaning up against a rack of dresses. She looks at me, honey, I'm fine. Get my phone out. God's had to help me with that. Okay? Ephesians chapter 5, verse 23. Listen, men, to what God's telling you. For the husband is the head of the wife. So number one, your marital role is to be the head of your family. Your wife can counsel you, but she, you know what God put in her? He put in her a desire to have a man to look up to, not look down on. And ladies, if that's how you want it, you're wrong. But God has put it in the heart of a woman to have a man that she could look up to, a man that is her anchor in her life, a man that is settled and that she can be settled in life. And that's for the husband is the head of the wife, and if Christ is the head of the church, he is the Savior of the body. We preached on that. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, number four, it is your job to love your wife with an unconditional love. Period. She may not be pretty one day. She may not be nice to you one day. She may not have fixed it right for you one day. She may have let you have it one day. You know what your job is? I love you. Honey, I love you. I'd do anything in the world for you, honey. I love you. Can you imagine Christ having to listen to us? And all the stuff we throw on him and all the things we demand he do for us and all the things that we want him to fix. Can you imagine Christ telling us, why don't you do it yourself? What's wrong with you? Can you imagine our Savior doing that to us? Absolutely not. You better love that woman. You see, ladies, you got the better part of the deal. God put it in your nature to look up and to have a husband that's over you. That might be hard, but I promise you, it is harder for the man to consistently and unapologetically and unconditionally love his wife every day that they wake up together. It's hard. Sometimes, ladies, I'll be honest, you don't make it easy. I'm being honest. Am I being honest? But that doesn't excuse you from fulfilling your role. And ladies, I want you to hear me out on this. If he is to love you unconditionally and never use your behavior as an excuse to not love you anymore, then you listen up when I get onto this reverence and respect deal. It's all going to come around. You better love her. You better love her when she's 40 and 50 and 60 years old, and them girls that are 20 are looking nice. You better still love her. Unconditionally. See, that's the love that God has for us. God has laid absolutely no conditions upon our salvation, has he? He didn't say, you better do this, you better do that, you better have it right here, you better have it right there. He's not laid that on us. He has decided to love us unconditionally. Guys, that's your job. If you don't do that and she runs off with 75% of your stuff, don't blame her. Blame you. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. By the way, husbands give things to their wives. Okay. Head out to the parking lot now. That is not your paycheck. If your role is to be the provider of the family and your wife's job is to be a keeper of home, that is not your money. That's y'all's money. Gave himself for her. That's y'all's truck. That's y'all's TV. Both of you. Give things to your wife. God gave gifts to the church, didn't he? Gifts of the Spirit, gift of prophecy, gift of healing, gift of knowledge, gift of wisdom. God gave gifts to the church. Give to your wives, husband. Gave himself that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Then he says, verse 27, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Men, do not let your wife be defiled. Do not lead her out into the world, that it should be holy without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. That is, her body is yours, but your body is hers. And I'm going to show you that from the Bible. He that loveth his wife loveth himself, because she's yours. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth it. That means you go out to eat. Honey, you want to go out to eat with me? Nourish your wife. Nourish her with things. Nourish her with her emotional needs. And I know, guys, we don't like to come in home those days and we find our wife going, ah! And we're going, oh, come on. You know what? Most women cannot control their emotions. They can't. And it's just like you trying to control hunger. You know how you take care of hunger? Nourish it. You know how to take care of a wife, guys? Feed her. Give her love. Give her attention. Listen to her. That's good stuff. We are members of his body, verse 30, and of his flesh and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother, shall be joined to his wife. They two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Now I want you to listen to this. In Psalm 19, listen to this. They're lying, this is talking about the host of heaven and all the stars and the angels and everything. Their line has gone out throughout all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun. Now, think about the sun rising in the morning. And all of the space, outer space in heavens, is a tabernacle that the sun dwells in. And the sun is a picture of Christ. He's the sun of righteousness. And he is arising with healing in his wings, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. Husbands, you're supposed to rejoice in your marriage. Have some rejoicing in your marriage. Rejoice. Have some joy in your relationship with your wife. Have some joy about you. That she's not just some, I got to go home to the old ball and chain. If that's your marriage, you're messed up. If that's how you see it, there's something wrong with you men. There's something wrong in your mind about, I guess the old lady wants me home. I guess I better get home. Let me have another one here, bartender. There is something wrong with you. Well, it's 2:00 in the morning. I hate to go crawl in bed with her, but I guess I will. You're not rejoicing over your wife. It should be a blessing to come home. It should be a joy to get to see your wife again. Every now and then I get called out to preach somewhere. And boy, several years ago, Lisa and the kids, we all just jumped in the van and went all over the place. Now Lisa's settled at home. She got the grandkids and got more on the way. And she's wanting to stay at home. Well, somebody's going to call me and have me go out and preach somewhere. And I hate to leave her now. And I guarantee you, I get out there on the road and sit in somebody's house or some hotel room somewhere. I'm calling Lisa. Lisa, how you doing today? You doing okay? Boy, I miss you. Come in off a plane, drive into the house, walk in the door. There's my sweetie pie standing there. Oh, honey, I'm so glad to see you. I'm not making that up. God's had to help me to have a rejoicing, running as a bridegroom, running out of the closet saying, honey, I'm here. That's good. Isaiah 62:5, for as a young man marrieth a virgin, so shall thy sons marry thee. And as the bridegroom rejoiceth over the bride. Hey, everybody, I'd like for you to meet my wife. Isn't she darling? Isn't she beautiful? That's how you ought to be, guys. That's how you ought to be. The role of a husband. The voice of joy, Jeremiah 33:11, the voice of joy. The voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom. Joy and gladness. When people outside of your home hear you talk about your wife. Boy, I got a good wife. And they're all talking about the old lady at home. How she gets after them all the time. You don't fall for that nonsense. That's your wife. That's supposed to be your best friend. That's the woman who puts up with you and cleans up after you and has fed your children for you. That's the woman who's there for you when everybody else has left you. That's the woman that's going to be there for you. How dare you talk about your wife that way? Have some joy in your heart about your wife. Matthew 1, listen to this. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example. What's that about? Mary comes up pregnant. They were betrothed. They had not made the union. Joseph, being a just man, did not want to make his wife a public example. Now, I want you to listen to me, and I want you to listen to me good. Those of you sitting in this church, you don't know everything about Sweetie Pie. Those of you watch on camera, you don't know a lot about my Sweetie Pie. The reason being, I don't tell everything I know about my wife. I tell the good stuff. I tell the funny stuff. But I don't tell the bad stuff, and there are some things. It is my job. Remember, I talked about this. Guys, it's your job to protect your wife. It's your job to protect her reputation. Protect her name. I get up behind this pulpit. I don't talk about the old hag I got at home. If I do, I'm talking about the dog in our house that wets on our carpet. When I talk about my wife, I talk good about my wife. I do not and am not interested in making her a public example and a spectacle in front of everybody. That would hurt her. Listen, you remember Dominic? What was her first name? Patty. These two got married in high school. She got pregnant. They got married in high school. He was the most worthless bum. He's in prison now for selling dope. One of the biggest dope heads in his county. Big old rough football player looking guy. Italian. You know how them Italians are. Harassed his wife publicly. Would sit there with his dudes, with his friends. His wife would pull up. He said, watch this. And he would lay into her right in front of everybody. Just to show off what kind of man he was. She left him. I'm glad. Guys, you make a spectacle out of your wife. You talk. Hey, you better watch that chat stuff on the internet. Talking to other women about your wife. I know what you're doing. You're setting yourself up. That's what you're doing. That's your role. Is to protect reputation of your wife. 1 Corinthians 7, let the husband render unto the wife do benevolence. That means give to her and be nice to her and give to her when she ain't done nothing for you. That means you get up and make the bed every now and then, even if she don't help you. Got you there, didn't I, Jim? The wife hath not power of her own body, but the husband. Likewise also the husband hath not power of his own body, but the wife. And you know what this is talking about? The marital role. The marital bed. Men, listen to me. She is not your little play toy. You render to her due benevolence in your role as husband. And you honor her when she feels good and when she don't feel good. You honor her. I could preach more on that, but I'm not going to. Listen to this. 1 Corinthians 7:14. The unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Guys, listen to me. God may have called you, and boy, you just believe the Bible, and you believe it's right, and you believe the King James, you believe salvation by grace, you believe all these things that is believable about the Bible. But your wife don't catch on to that. Maybe some of you listening, your wife is not even saved. Don't leave her. Well, I want somebody that'll help me. You've got God for that. She needs somebody that'll help her. She may not realize it yet or not. Don't leave her. Stay with her. Educate her. Deal with her. In fact, I'll show you this. 1 Corinthians 14:35. You know that deal about the woman being silent in the church? Not teaching, not using. I had to ask a lady to leave Sunday school one time because she wouldn't shut up. She wanted to contradict my authority in the church. And you know what I told her? Ma'am, that's a question you need to go home and ask your husband. That's what the Bible says. And if they will hear anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it's a shame for a woman to speak in the church. You know what that means, husbands? You better have an answer. And your wife, God may have given you an inquisitive wife who has a hunger and a desire for the things of God. That's how a lot of the ladies that follow this ministry found this ministry. They had a hunger and thirst, and they looking for stuff on the internet and saw Mike Hoggard, and they said, well, let's hear this guy, and you liked what you heard. You said, boy, this guy's good. And you try to get your husband in on it. Well, I don't like to listen to that. I'm watching fishing. I got work to do. Guys, you're to be not just the physical head, you're to be the spiritual head of your home. If your wife is not allowed to speak and usurp authority in the church, and she is required by Scripture to go and ask her husband, then you boys better be working on an answer. That's your job. I have enough to do. Seven times a week, I'm in front of that camera trying to say something that God told me to say. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm not saying quit writing me. But you husbands better start getting in the Word of God and learning some things, because she's going to ask. Maybe that's what went wrong in the Garden of Eden. God had given the Word to Adam, and Eve didn't hear it right, or didn't, whatever. Something went wrong in there. Husbands, love your wives, Colossians 3:19. And be not bitter against them. So guys, let's just lay it out. We all have a reason every now and then to be mad at her wife. And I guess out of all the people I've ever encountered in the whole world, the one person I have been the absolute most furious at has been Sweetie Pie. I mean blistered. Mad. Boy, she makes me mad sometimes. Can I get amen, guys, so you're not, I'm not all, hey, don't let me out here hanging by myself, all right? Pastor dig his own grave, let him do it. I ain't going in there with him. Can I be honest? Men always need a woman. That's just how God made us. God says it's not good man should be alone. Men always need a woman. And you guys make us so mad. We get angry and we say, I'm sick of this. I'm tired of that. I put up with all that for years. I've done all this. I can't take it no more. And then the devil's standing there, and he just drew you a picture of another woman with a smile on her face. And all of a sudden now, something ain't right. See how it works? See, that's why God said that. Husbands, love your wives, be not bitter against them. You know why God said that? He knows. He knows us because he made us. He made us weak. Jim, I knew a guy out Richwoods. Man, that guy's strong. It took him months for leukemia to kill him. He was so strong. And he laid and suffered a long time. Because his body was so strong and it took months for leukemia to kill him. They said in his day, he'd go out there and pick up a car engine and set it up on pedestals. That's tough. Samson took iron gates, ripped them off the hinges, put them on his shoulders and walked up on top of this hill. Said, you Philistines ain't got nothing on me. What was he doing in that town? He was in bed with a harlot. You know why? He had a weakness. The Philistines couldn't stop him, but Delilah dropped him just like that. Husbands, love your wives. Be not bitter against her. And I've had since God began to deal with me about this. Because at one time, my mind was taking me out of the marriage. I'm going to leave her. We ain't got nothing here anyway. God began to deal with me. It's a long time ago. God began to deal with me. Mike, read the Bible. I started reading. Husbands, love your wives. Be not bitter against her. So I learned. When we're fixing to get into it, I learned to back up. Now I'll just stand there and I'll listen. And I'll let her talk. And she'll walk away. And I'll go. God, you told me to love her. I need help. My boys are going to see me. My girls and my sons-in-law are going to watch me. My grandchildren are going to see me. God, I need help. God, I don't want to be bitter against my wife. Walk in the room 5 minutes later. I'm happy. And something happened to her. And she's happy. And it's over with. And we didn't call each other names. We didn't look through a phone book for a lawyer. Well, there's one there. We didn't do that. Because God taught me how to handle it. How to hold the iron bars. How to have... Just give me enough strength, God, to endure this so that I'm not living alone. because God, you told me to love my wife. You weren't asking me. You were telling me. And God, you're going to have to put it in me. And he does. It's going to happen again. And I'm going to have to do it again. And it's going to happen a time after that. And I'm going to have to do it again. Because I don't ever want to get to that time where I say, I've had it. I ain't taking this no more. How come I have to do all the work around here? First Peter chapter 3, verse 7. Likewise, ye husbands. And you teenage boys, you listen to me. You listen to your preacher. By the way, you girls, you listen to the man of God this morning. I'm going to try to protect you from ending up with a wolf. Guys, are there wolves out there looking for girls? So you girls, you listen up. You listen to how God says a man is to be. And young ladies, if you've got it in your mind that you're going to get a hold of some old boy and you're going to work him over so you can have your way, I'm going to pray that God gives you Arnold Schwarzenegger or something like that. Who is that? Jesse Ventura. Rawr! I hope he does. Likewise, you husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. It's going to take you a while to get them figured out. Because you know what the Bible says about a woman? Her ways are movable that thou canst not know them. So when you got it figured that she's here, and you come home one day and you look here, she's over here. She ain't in the same place. She ain't in the same mood. And she ain't saying the same thing she said yesterday. And you're just going, you see, I figured this out. Everybody in this room has got X chromosomes. Ladies, that's all they have is X chromosomes. Men, what makes them different is that we have a Y chromosome. Because we're going, why? Why are you saying that? Why are you looking at me that way? I don't understand. Why? And then we go off to our room. God, why? What did I do? Never mind. I know what I did. Dwell with them according to knowledge. Giving honor to the wife. She's to be up here. God made her shorter than you. But you're actually supposed to look up to her. That's good, isn't it? Give honor to the wife as unto the weaker vessel. See, that's something very delicate. That you know that if you don't handle it just right, it's very fragile. And it'll break easily. Did I say that right, ladies? Very fragile. And if we don't handle you just right, you're going to break. And stuff is going to pour out. Okay? Guys, that's how we're supposed to be with her. Something comes up, well, you know, I got to ask my wife. Well, call her right now. I'll wait for... No, you don't understand. There's a way that I have to ask my wife. There's a way that I have to do this. And I've got 20 years of learning how to do this. So let me do it. And you do it. God blesses. And God honors. I want some men in this church let me finish that verse. Giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. It's going to take for us to be sustained in this church, Gary. It's going to take. See, God has raised this church up, and He has set us as a city on a hill in this church, because we have everybody watching what we're doing and what's going on in here. And I want to tell you this, and Maggie knows this. We've got enemies watching this church this morning who are waiting for us to just fall apart. Some of them are Christians that are waiting for a disaster to take place in me and in this church. And I know, and I've become fully aware, that if the grace of Almighty God does not sustain me because of the responsibility that's on my shoulders, I will fold this place up like a house of cards. I'm completely capable of doing it. And I need some men that'll help me and stand with me and pray for me and pray for this church. And if you're not being the husband you're supposed to be, your prayers are hindered, and I can't live without them. This man come up. Kevin, where are you from? Indianapolis. Drove all the way from Indianapolis to get in our baptistry. That's a big deal. The Chadwell's back here, brought Elijah, their boy. That's their boy, their precious son. Bring him up here so he can be baptized in here today. That's a big thing. What do you think will happen to these people if something happens to me or something happens to this church and we all fall out? They're going to say, God, that was the last place we had. We didn't have another church to go to. God, what are we going to do? So I need some men that get a hold of the throne of God and not have their prayers hindered, that'll live right at home and be a good husband to their wife. Can I hear you say amen? Men, I want you to come join me down to the altar this morning. Okay?